Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits, episode 75. This is Marlis.
And Judy.
And John.
And Per Olav.
And Per Olav in the background, yes. That's my cat. sorry. Today we're here for part two of Diageo's special releases called Horizons Unbound. And we're going to taste four scotches, all with some interesting and experimental facets to them. We're going to do a Glenlish, a Rose Isle, a Tanninic, and a Dalhuan. And Judy, if you would just kind of review real quick how we got involved in this and what the special releases are about.
Well, basically it came in our email, not the whiskey, but the invite to you know, give their this collection a try and do a tasting and report back on it on our podcast to let everybody know what we thought. We were hoping to have an ambassador go with us through the tasting, but unfortunately we were unable to arrange a time that we were all available. And so here we are doing it on our own, which is always a good idea.
Unguided.
Yeah. Without
adult supervision.
Yeah, without a responsible adult to take us through this. And if you've listened to the first episode, Marlis and I went a tiny bit off the rails. So anyway, so that is how we got into it. We really love it when people contact us and ask us if we'll try their stuff, because it's usually something we don't know a daggone thing about, which mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. When we shine. So keep it coming. Keep those invites coming. So, Marlis, well, you're first, eh?
Yeah. Well, and I think the interesting thing is for the first four, we had tasted, I think, three of the four. Not the special edition, but the scotch in general. These, I haven't had any of these, any edition. Yeah. So this is going to be kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, so up first, we have Glenlish Waxen Sun is what the special edition is called. It's 18 years old. It's an ABV of 51.5%. It's going to highlight a tropical fruit character. The refill casks have allowed this aspect of the spirit character to shine through. Now, I don't have on my notes exactly what kind of refill cask, so I'm not sure what that is. But in appearance, it's a pale, clear gold. It says exceptional beading. But given that we're splitting an ounce and a half between three of us, it's hard to get a lot of beading. there just isn't that much scotch in the glass. For nose, it should be mild in feel, dry and slightly cooling with fruitiness. And the top notes are reminiscent of a tropical fruit salad, or food salad, I suppose, led by lychees and mangosteens, backed by pineapple and melon. Now, I haven't had that many lychees. I think the last time I knew I had a lychee was, many years ago when I was still working. So I don't know. And I don't know that I've ever had a mangosteen. So, but pineapple and melon, these are recognizable. And there should be kind of a chalky mineral note lending some dryness to it. And, this is interesting. A drop of water introduces a vinyl note suggesting a precious LP record.
What?
That's interesting, yeah.
Well, this is the aroma, not the taste of a precious.
Yeah, but I'm getting a ton of lace on this one. As I swish it around in the glass and hold it up to the light, it just stays and stays.
Oh, yeah. This has got some texture to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I get a little bit of alcohol in the nose. Not enough to really, clear out the sinuses, but it's not.
I'm trying to evoke that favorite LP record, but it's not coming to me.
But, a lot of fruit once you get past that initial.
It's different. It's not one that I think we've ever, the aroma has not even come close to anything else we've ever had.
Mm-mm. No, this is very fruit forward, shall we say. Yeah, all right. So for palate, there should be a creamy, smooth texture with a certain waxiness. And that, again, we're back in vinyl LP territory.
I guess, yeah. Or wax lips from Halloween.
That's true. Lightly sweet, slightly sharp, sunny tropical fruit character. And then, but the fruit shouldn't dominate, and there should be a lovely balance. So lively, with notable power and warm spiciness.
There is definitely a warm spiciness.
Yeah, I'm getting the light fruit. Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah, and the spice.
This is interesting, because I'm not someone who I would think would want a lot of light fruit. You know, I like the dark fruits, you know, with the sherry finishes and that sort of stuff. If someone said, oh, here, try this, it's a lot of light fruit, I would say, well, maybe not. But it's actually pretty tasty.
Yeah.
That's a little burny on my tongue. If you hear screaming, it's just the soccer players or something. There's no murdering going on.
No.
So did you say what the finish is?
Yet? No. Okay, so the finish should be medium to long, finishing spicy and warming with a lingering, freshly fruity aftertaste. And if you add a dash of water, it should be sweeter and more lightly spicy. But I wouldn't think this would need a lot of water. I mean, it's light in character, which, especially given that it's over 50% ABV.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, this is pretty palatable.
It might, somebody who doesn't want that, because I still am feeling the finish in my throat. So I think someone who doesn't like that strong a finish would probably prefer a little bit of water.
So again, that's Glenlish, and I looked up how to pronounce it, so if I've messed that up, I apologize. It's spelled C-L-Y-N-E-L-I-S-H. Looks like Glenlish, but they said Glenlish, so we'll go with that.
We're American, what do we know?
Oh, there is that.
Not a lot, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm doing maybe apple or pear or something like that on the finish. Yeah, it's definitely there, sweeter kind of fruit, not like the not like the sherry cask stuff that we usually you know, partake of.
Well, and I think the high ABV gives that light fruit a little more weight to it, you know, which I think makes it interesting. Okay.
That's nice.
Next.
All right. Next we have Rose Isle. This is called the Architect of Harmony.
Oh.
It is, oh goodness, I need my eyes. It is 14 years old and has an ABV of 55.9.
Lazy.
It's light-bodied and creamy with a surprisingly peppery finish, making it especially appropriate as an aperitif. So the appearance is deep gold with amber lights, good beading, and like me, slow legs.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting, I can get a lot of coverage there, but I'm not getting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the nose, and it is a very pretty gold and amber color. The nose is a gentle green and fragrant nose. The overall impression is rounded and well integrated with top notes of soft vanilla sponge edging towards an upside down caramelized apple tart. Now, is that different? Does it taste different if it's right side up? Just asking.
I don't know.
On a puff pastry base topped with vanilla ice cream. Okay, let me go through that again.
You're getting more and more specific.
Yeah, with top notes of soft vanilla sponge edging towards an upside-down caramelized apple tart on a puff pastry base topped with vanilla ice cream. Adding a drop of water raises a fragrant green note of rose petals or exotic grasses, while the soft vanilla notes increase with time. I feel like we could go get some water, but I guess we didn't read ahead.
No, these are... Okay, this is a bit simplistic, but it smells really good.
Yeah.
I'm saying that.
Absolutely.
That sounds like something I would say.
Yeah,
that
not a lot of hoarseness. Harshness. Oh, I can hear it real plain.
And what's funny is I said if they did this with rose petals, I'm running away. But apparently we are going to get some rose petal, at least.
Well, you get
aroma.
Some kind of floral note.
There is a floral note.
Just with the aroma.
Nice. So the palate, creamy smooth in texture and sweet in taste, first suggesting buttery cakes laced with creamy vanilla, then crispy acidic with a peppery spiciness coming through towards the end. Layers of green, grassy, fruity, and nutty flavor melt seamlessly into one. A dash of water makes things smoother and less acidic and brings out more of that grassy herbal character, yet without lessening the sweet harmony of it all.
Well, that's peppery, I'll say that. But not, trying to decide.
It's not unpleasant.
No, not at all.
I didn't find it as peppery, actually, as the first one.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I don't find it as peppery.
I get more pepper with this one, but...
Yeah. Huh. Well, that, you know, different taste buds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it seems pretty smooth for 55.9%. Yeah, mm-hmm. And really no water. Mm-hmm. We're doing this without water.
Yeah, this is really nice. Mm-hmm.
I like the finish. There is a shake of white pepper in the medium-length, clean, crisp, and nutty, spicy finish. Still peppery with a dash of water, but smoother and more controlled.
Mm. The more you sip this, I'm just saying, the more interesting it gets. The cat is upset.
We didn't give him any.
I know he's mad.
I know.
It's all right, honey. Yeah, it's all right. He's our podcast mascot, so you got to take him. Mm-hmm. I like this one. I think I like it better than the first one at this point.
Mm-hmm. I think I like the first one a little better, which surprises me because I'm usually not. Again, I usually don't like the lighter fruit flavors, but I like that one quite a bit. Okay, number three.
Good. It's getting a little vanilla and some lighter fruit. It's just it's really pleasant. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Yes, I was just saying, John has to speak. We haven't let him yet. Marlis and I just sort of roll over him. Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes. We know.
I'm used to it.
Sorry.
That's okay.
It's been pointed out by others that we do that, and I do apologize.
That's okay. Marlis, how do you pronounce that one?
Taninic? I think. Again, okay. I looked these up. That's what they said.
Going with it. We're going to call it Taninic, and it's Rye Rebel.
Ooh.
It's 8 years old, and it is 60.3%
ABV. Oh, Jesus.
Holy.
Yeah, holy moly. Yeah.
That wasn't what I was going to say.
Yes. Yeah. That's okay. We want to keep our whiskey drinking kid-friendly. No, just kidding. It's described as light-bodied, young, and fresh, with an exciting combination of fresh acidity and soft sweetness that wood-related flavors have influenced but do not dominate.
Hmm.
The appearance is bright, clear gold, light beading, and thin legs.
Unlike me, it has thin legs.
Like me when I was 20.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there aren't a whole lot of, it's not a whole lot of going on there.
Not an assaultive aroma.
Yeah, it's there, but it's thinner. Yeah.
See, I found it assaultive.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's see.
Woo. This one smells like Band-Aids.
Oh.
To me.
Not really.
Well, you know.
There is something on there.
I just want to point out that both you and Marlis have bad sinuses.
Well, that's true.
That's true. I do not. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why I can smell the Band-Aids and you cannot.
Yeah. That's true.
On the nose, it is supposed to be a green, herbal, and spicy nose. Mild in feel, yet with quite a considerable prickle.
What? What does it have in a considerable what?
A considerable prickle.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yes. Okay. I like put a pickle on your nose.
It's
a gherkin or a dill. Kosher.
Yeah, I probably started to say pickle.
Yeah, you did. You started to say pickle. That was funny.
Because, you know, my eyes are bad and it's tiny print.
Yeah.
The top notes are fairly sharp, or faintly sharp. Sorry. Yes.
Let's go back to the... Are we still at the nose?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We still are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Faintly sharp. Suggesting acid-dropped boiled sweets.
What?
And soon becomes sweeter with the suggestion of soft fudge.
Okay, so...
And those green notes, which develop a more perfumed character in time, suggesting a woody cologne.
So, what I hear you saying... Boy, this stuff's getting to me already.
What you sear me hate.
Is that... Smelling this is like dropping acid. That's what I got out of that.
No.
Oh, no? No?
Drop boiled sweets. Yeah.
Okay, UK people. I know we have at least one listener in the UK. I want you to email us at...
funwithscotch@gmail.com.
And tell us what an acid dropped sweet...
Boiled sweet.
Boiled sweet is
acid
because...
Boiled sweets. Yeah.
I think boiled sweets are kind of like a hard candy, but I'm not sure...
Yes, but acid dropped boiled sweets is a mystery to me, and I want to know without asking Mr. Google, because I want a UK description. Email me.
Yeah.
Okay, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, my first sip was
go ahead.
Okay. I think I got the Band-Aid. But it's a rye, okay?
Yeah, that's true. I forgot that part already. Yeah,
so, you know, rye is not my favorite. I do like some ryes, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty picky about them. This is probably not one of my all-time ryes, I mm-hmm. should say. what's the taste?
Light and creamy, smooth in texture, and sweet at first in taste, with creamy vanilla and light acidity. There's a green herbal side to the taste, too. A dash of water softens things while reducing the sweetness, bringing up the woody notes.
There's woody notes there. Yeah. Kind of like a whole barrel. Okay, no, that's not true. Don't let me be nasty about it just because I'm not a big rye kid. But,
This is not my favorite. I'm trying to figure out the flavor here.
Yeah. You know, there is that kind of woodiness and that kind of, you know, obstreperousness that you expect from a rye. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is some sweetness in there also. Mm-hmm.
There is.
I'm interested in what Tanita kind of was interested in doing here. I don't.
It's not in the notes.
No.
Mm-mm. And it's not on the card either, is it? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. That would be helpful if they did that. Mm-hmm. Mm.
The finish is quite short and surprisingly now sharply spicy, with a pinch of dried coconut in the aftertaste.
Oh, there's no dried coconut in the aftertaste.
A little water sweetens the taste and increases the spice. Well, it's got sweetness and it's mm-hmm. got spice. Mm-hmm. And there is, I have
and
to
it's
say,
naughty and nice.
I have to agree, there's a hint of Band-Aid.
Hey, I am very proud of myself, and if it probably wouldn't hurt me, I would pat myself on the back.
I know. I can't do that for you.
Oh, thank you. Because I normally can't. Yeah. I don't have a very good palate, but mm-hmm. I actually can pick out Band-Aid for some reason. It's kind of weird, but yeah.
Well, you know, we all have... every single person on the planet has slightly different taste buds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the three of us will never agree completely on...
the three of us never completely agree anyway.
No, I know, on anything. So, there you go.
Oh, you know, but, okay. Never mind. When we're done tasting, I will... say what the price points are on each of them. How about that?
Oh, yes.
Because we can't do that. That
would be good. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, so if you're looking for an extremely strong, sharp rye, this is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I could not drink a lot of this because it is pretty strong. Mm-hmm.
This is where you probably would use some ice or water to cut it. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it is, what, 66? Is
that 60...
what
you're...
60.3%. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it should be 66.6.
Mm-hmm. Hey. A little judgmental.
It's
there.
A bit. It's a little evil on my pipes ear. Mm-hmm. But no, there's just
it is a strengthy boy. I think we can say that.
It is. And strong.
Yeah, it is. All right. Last but not least, Marlis.
Okay, this one I've been looking forward to. This is Del Ewan. It is called Marbled Treasure. It is 21 years old, which means it is legal drinking age.
Legal.
And the ABV is 54.4. So kind of in the midst of what we've been. it is an outstanding example of this full-bodied malt. Rich is what they're using as their basic descriptor. The appearance is deep amber. It is absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. Horse chestnuts fallen fresh from the tree. Yep, right on. Mm. Old polished oak. Exceptional beading. Thick, slow-running legs, like me.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I know. Let's never do that again. I mean, the legs. We will just not mention those again. But, okay, nose. There should be a profound aroma with great depth. Mellow nose feel, dry, spicy, unmistakable memory of long-aged Oloroso sherry casks.
Oh, yeah.
I am having a sherry cask orgasm over here. I just want you to know.
Okay, again, kid-friendly.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say a bad word. Could have said
It won't get us banned.
No.
It reveals sultanas, roast chestnuts, and cherries dipped in dark chocolate. Oh, my God.
It is. I could just sit here and smell it all day. Do they sell this as a perfume?
Perfume, yeah.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. It's like, ooh.
Oh, my Lord have mercy. It is... The word lovely doesn't even come close to describing how I feel about this right now. And you know I'm not overly effusive about anything. Mm-hmm. If you listen to us at all, I am not typically overly effusive. Mm-hmm. But this is awesome, the smell. We haven't gotten to the taste yet.
Yes, ladies, if you are looking for a husband, go to a bar and use this little bit behind each ear and a little bit in the cleavage. And Woo! Let me tell you, you will do very well.
Or just a good night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that too.
Yeah.
I was going for the more seductive thing, but you were going for the enjoyable thing.
Right. No, okay. Well.
Well, could merge.
Could go either way.
Know. Yeah, yeah. All right. For the palate. Ooh, I haven't even tasted it yet. Go ahead and taste. Should be creamy, mouth-filling, drying. The taste opens lively and sweet. Brown sugar, crystals, and espresso coffee. Oh, my God. Again.
I know. All the flavors that we would really love. You know what? It is good.
Oh, my God.
This is great.
Wow.
Then develops into intense dried fruits and dry, spicy pepperiness. There is a bit of pepper there. That spread, which keeps it from being too cloying or too sweet.
Yeah, it's not too sweet.
And then spreads across the tongue. A drop of water smooths the whole and rounds the flavors. I would not put water anywhere near this.
No, I would rather just have a wee amount with no water than to destroy this lovely flavor with water. Yes. This is good.
Mm. Well, and, oh, lousy. Okay, finish. Oh, palate. Creamy. Oh, we did that already. Mm-hmm. Okay, finish. Long, spiciness, sweetly reminiscent of ginger, and gently drying with a slight hint of flint in the aftertaste.
I've never tasted flint.
So
I can't.
Go suck
I
on
can't.
A rock and see. Yeah, I know.
I'm going to guess that flint does not taste as good as this, but that's just me.
It might if you mature it for years and years in a sherry cask.
Well, that's true. You got me there.
But this is amazing.
This is amazing, amazing, yeah. Amazing.
Now, one thing that we haven't mentioned this episode yet is the price point for these, should you be able to find them in your local store. The Glenlish 18-year-old Highland is about, with the, what is it, waxen sun, is about $158. It's $186. The Rose Isle, what's that called? Architect of Harmony, that's right, is about $158. The Taninic 8-year-old single grain is around $85. And the Dalyuan that you have just heard us all oohing and aahing about is $365.
Of course it is.
Unfortunately, I would say worth it.
I know.
It is. Yeah. It is very, very good. You know,
if you have disposable income that you don't know what to do with,
yeah,
this would be a lovely investment.
This probably is close to what, you know, when Tamara...
Gave us the
Dalmore. I forget what the
King
name
Alexander.
Of it. King Alexander. Yeah.
That was amazing.
And I think that was running about $400. Yeah. This is very close to that.
Yeah.
I don't know which one's awesome. Better because I haven't had the the other in a while. So, but I'm pretty sure we could probably do a knockdown, drag out fight over which is the best of those two because I think it comes very close to that. Woo! Oh my goodness.
And some people have discussions of, you know, what is your price point where you think you get diminishing returns? You know, for like a daily scotch or something that you drink semi-regularly, a lot. You know, maybe not your Dewars or Johnny Walker. Jack Daniels, sorry.
Yeah.
that you have as a daily. But, you know, for your kind of special occasion scotch, my kind of break even is around the 100, 120. Hmm. If I can get a really good scotch for that, that it's a special occasion scotch, that's fine. Although I have had some really good stuff that's, you know, under 150, which, okay, maybe that's my limit. But this, it's like, I wouldn't, well, I don't have the money to invest in this, but, If I did, if I, it is really good.
If somebody gives me money for Christmas, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so alms
for the poor. Yeah.
Send out to your, you know, greater family, you know, money appreciated for Christmas.
I don't want you to, you know, contribute to my favorite charity. I want you to send me money for,
I know,
for scotch.
This it really is tasty. Yeah. And it's partly, it's the sherry. It's partly, it's a good base that absorbed all the sherry. And I've never had Deluwood before. I haven't had any of these
before. No, we haven't
had any. This is really kind of an eye-opening tour through some innovative liquors.
But yeah, and the whole 8-box set, please go back and listen to episode 74 for part one of this little series we've done to hear about the other four if you haven't done so. But I can't say there are any that weren't worth trying, even though I wasn't real keen on the rye.
Tanninic.
But it was worth trying. You know, if I was at somebody's house visiting and they said, here, try this. And I was like, thank you. You know, I would not turn it down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would drink it. I may not ask for a second one, which is probably good at the ABV. But, you know, these are all good in their own way. It's just some are just, in our opinion, way better than the other.
Which one?
Deluwood. I keep wanting to call it Dalwhinnie for some reason. And
well, there is a Dalwhinnie.
Okay, is that what it is? Yeah, so it's not Dalwhinnie. It's Deluwin.
Yes.
Deluwin. What is you told
not
me to say?
Not
Dalmian. Not blah, blah, whatever she said. I am a big fan of the sherry cask anyway, but this is got to be one of the best, if not the best, sherry cask.
I mean, it's fucking 21 years old, for God's sake.
Okay, she
it
just
could
ruined
vote.
It.
No, sorry.
Okay. All I said was orgasm.
Yeah.
And she just said fucking. So there you go. We now have to have our explicit rating. That's all right. We don't mind. We're adults. And what children are listening to this in the first place?
This is true.
They'd be bored out of their minds, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, I'm really appreciative to Diageo for giving us this opportunity.
Yes.
After they've listened to us, they may never give us this opportunity again, but that's okay. We really want it. We really want you to give us this opportunity.
Oh, I know. If this is a yearly thing, please put us on your mailing list.
Yeah, because we really enjoy trying new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and just the fact that the distillers are always experimenting. I think that's so cool.
It is. And I think, you know, people think, well, you know, distillers just always make the same stuff over and over and over again. But obviously, they do not all do that. I'm sure there are some that can't afford to experiment too much. But, you know, Diageo companies probably
can. They can do that.
But I'm sure there's some, you know, small crafty places that are trying new and different things. I remember the first time John and I tried a whiskey that was aged in IPA casks. And we didn't know because we got the flight. And we're in Seattle at Pike Place Market. Or Pike Place, that wasn't the market, it was down the street at Pike Place
something or other
brewery. And they had a flight that we could try, and we're like, sure. And we tried it, and I kept going,
Do you taste hops?
Do you taste hops? And John's like,
yeah.
I do. And we're like, why? Yeah, we just were like really confused. This was years ago, and I think probably before we started this podcast, even. And which I think we're on like day 2,600 and something of when we started this podcast.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Thank God for you guys that we don't have that many episodes. And so anyway, so we asked, you know, the server came over, and we're like, hey, you know, he goes, oh yeah, that's this one. It's like a new thing we're trying. We partnered with this local distillery, and they gave us or we gave them IPA casks, and they created this whiskey. And that's, I'm like, good. It was very good. It was the first time I'd ever. And now you go to the liquor store, and there's like all kinds.
Oh my god!
And before that, I'd never remember seeing, aged in,
Tempranillo or Gewürztraminer casks or,
I don't know that I've seen that one, but okay.
Yeah. Sherry or Bordeaux or whatever,
Cabernet all these different types of things. And of course in IPA, and I've seen more of those and distilleries are getting more and more experimental. And, I think that's great.
I do too. I'm really excited by all this sort of stuff. I think it's very cool. And very tasty.
Yeah.
So if you see a chance to get any of these, I would say, depending on what you like in general, if you like rye, definitely try the Tanninic because it is kind of smoky and not quite as harsh or bright as a lot. And it's kind of interesting. The Glenlish has that tropical fruit thing that going on that I never thought I would be that excited about, but it was pretty tasty.
Yeah.
And you don't like pineapple.
No, I don't like pineapple at all. And so I did not actually taste pineapple, but.
No, I didn't taste pineapple either, but they were all over that pineapple thing.
It was a light fruit though.
Yeah. But the, and the rose isle.
Mm-hmm.
Very tasty.
That was very good.
And Del Ewan. I would like to try a Del Ewan that wasn't 21 years old, that was only, but I don't think. I think it's kind of hard to find. I've never even seen it.
I don't think we can find it in the U.S. very easily.
Yeah,
we'll have to look for it.
Yeah. No.
And, with the tariffs right now, I'm not sure if how.
Does it affect Scotch, though?
It has. Since the first administration of this person, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry. Hopefully I don't lose a listener over that.
I know.
Or maybe I don't care. Tariffs has been affecting it, all the imported alcoholic beverages. Mm-hmm. I just don't even know what to say after the Del Ewan. I almost said it again.
I went through and finished all three of the other ones just so I could work on
concentrate on the Del Ewan
at the end. Yeah, because that's the flavor I want left.
Oh, it is so good.
After all the others.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, This has been great.
Anyway, many, many thanks to Diageo for sending us this sample box.
Absolutely.
This was a revelation in the many things that distillers are trying and the many successes that they're having, because this stuff was all really interesting. So thanks to them. Thanks to John, Judy, and me, of course.
And thanks to all of our listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
all 12 of you. Whatever.
Well, it's more than 12. Okay. It's like 19.
Okay.
Anyway. I know. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
We do this. This is like a
labor of love.
A labor of love. Thank you. I could think of the word love, and I couldn't think of any other words.
This is a love thing.
This is a love thing.
Love thing.
Whiskey, right? it really is. We enjoy tasting new things. We enjoy the adventure, really, of trying all these.
Getting together and talking about it.
Yeah, and then we kind of make this kind of a communal thing, too. Because right after this, we're going to have a lovely dinner with Marlis, and we're going to have chicken pot pie tonight, made by Ms. Marlis, and popovers made by me, Ms. Judy, and John helped. And maybe I will post pictures of our dinner.
That would be fun.
So you can be part of our little community effort.
And if you are in the Olympia Lacey area in February 15th, I think, we're going to have a tasting where you have to buy tickets, but it's for charity. It's a fundraiser for Zonta, which is an international organization aimed at making life better for women and girls. And we're going to do Irish whiskeys. And I've come up with some actually pretty tasty ones, I think. So, listen for more information eventually. We're not good at being really quick. What can I say?
We have like our slow legs. We just sort of plod along. But
okay.
All right. Have a good night.